Welcome to Come Follow Me on the Go. My name is Kylie, and this podcast is designed for families and children that are in the car and on the go. In each podcast episode, I will be sharing brief stories from the Come Follow Me lesson plans. I will also provide questions that families can pause the podcast and discuss and chat and grow closer together as a family unit and closer to Christ while they are in the car and on the go. Okay, our first story this week is going to be in Acts chapter 16. And in this scripture, we have Paul and Silas. And Paul had a vision that he was supposed to go to Macedonia. So they travel there, and on a Sunday, they sit down by a river to teach a group of women. And among these women was a lady named Lydia. And we learned that she was a maker of purple. So she dyed or made clothing purple, or made the dye that would then turn clothing or fabrics purple. So Lydia believed them and was baptized and wanted them to come and stay at her house and teach the people that she cared about and loved. So we learned that they did. They went to her house and stayed with her for a time. And then we learned that they were still in Macedonia and they continued to teach, and they came across a woman who was possessed with the spirit of prophecy. And this woman was actually a slave. So there were people that owned her, and they would make money from her telling people their fortunes. So this lady actually followed Paul and Silas for multiple days and was speaking truth. She was telling everyone that these men are servants of the Most High God, but regardless, it's not what was supposed to be happening, or it was bothering them. So Paul actually commanded the spirit that was possessing her to leave her body, and it did. But this made the owners of her very mad. So remember, she was a slave and people were making money off of her telling fortunes. So they were mad because now the income they expected from her telling people's fortunes was gone. So they actually grabbed Paul and Silas, and they took him to the magistrate there and told him that these men are preaching things that are unlawful and shouldn't be taught, and they're causing chaos in the city. And so the magistrate actually commanded them to be stripped and beaten, and they were beaten for quite a while and had multiple injuries. And then they were thrown in jail, and the jailer was told, like, make sure they don't escape. Like, it's on you. They cannot get out. So now Paul and Silas are in prison, and it's midnight, and we learn that they are actually singing praises to Heavenly Father despite the rough day that they had and the injuries that they have obtained at the hand of people. And they are praying as well. So it's the middle of the night. They're singing and praying so loud that we learn all the other jailers can actually hear them as well. And then all of a sudden, there's a giant earthquake, and it is shaking the foundation of the prison so hard that all the gates become unlocked and open. And the jailer that's in charge of everybody actually starts to panic a little bit, and he is feeling like he would rather die than be in trouble by his bosses for letting all these people escape. But Paul tells him, hold on, we're all here. No one ran away. We're still here. Don't hurt yourself. So the jailer is like, turn on the lights. Let me see that everyone's still here. And he's amazed, like, wait, what? Nope, you guys didn't try to run away. And so he wants to hear more. So then Paul and Silas actually spend the night teaching him about Christ and repentance and baptism. And he, the jailer, actually takes them to his house. We learn that he cleans their wounds and he gets baptized. He feeds them a meal. And then the next day, the magistrate is like, release the prisoners. Just let him go. And Paul and Silas are like, wait, dude. One, we are Romans. Like, you shouldn't have treated us like that. And when the magistrate finds that out, he actually comes to them in person and says, okay, like, sorry, I didn't realize that, but please leave our city right now. So Paul and Silas get up and they're getting ready to go, but instead they actually stop by Lydia's house on their way out of town and tell her everything that had happened. So at Lydia's house, we learn that she comforts them. So what that looks like, we can only imagine, but I would speculate or guess that that means tending to their wounds even further and maybe getting them clean clothes and clothes that maybe weren't torn or damaged from the mob, and probably giving them some food, feeding them, getting them ready, and then Paul and Silas departed. When I first read this story, I wondered, like, why were we introduced to Lydia to begin with? Like, they only give her like a tiny couple of verses in the very beginning of the chapter, and they don't really tell us much about her other than she's a maker of purple. And then the story completely changes to Paul and Silas going to prison. And then she pops back in at the end just for like a small little verse again. So I wondered, like, why? There has to be some kind of significance, and it's important somehow for her story to be in there. So my question for your family is, why did you guys need to hear the story of Lydia? What do you think the purpose of those few verses were for your family? Or have you ever had the opportunity to be a Lydia and serve somebody else? Or have you had a Lydia in your life, someone that has helped you? All right, we're going to move into chapter 18 for our next story about Paul. And we learn that Paul travels from Athens to Corinth. And when he gets there, he meets an Aquila and his wife Priscilla. And these people recently, this couple, had just moved actually from Italy because Claudius had commanded that all the Jews leave Rome. So they had just moved here. And Paul actually stays with them and works with them for a little bit because, fun fact, we actually learned he was a tent maker. So Paul used to make tents, and that is what Aquila and Priscilla do for their job. Okay, so then Paul is teaching every Sabbath day. He goes to the synagogue and he tries to convert and teach people about Christ and that he's come. And then we learn that finally the Holy Ghost presses on him, like, testify of Christ, that you know he's this savior for everybody. And when Paul does this, everybody kind of turns on him. They start to ridicule him and be abusive towards him. And so we are told that Paul shook out his clothes. So I don't know what that actually looked like, but you can use your own imagination. He shook out his clothes and he told them, like, I will not feel guilty because I tried. I will no longer feel bad that I wasn't able to convince you guys of the truths. Like, your sins will be on your own head. I did my best. And he tells them, I'm going to go teach the Gentiles now. I give up on you guys. So after Paul shook out his clothes and told them he was going to go teach the Gentiles, he went to a faithful person's home, and his name was Justus. So he stayed there, and while he was there, he actually had a vision. And in that vision, Heavenly Father told Paul that he did not need to fear, that he would watch out for him. There were plenty of people that believed what he was saying, but to just preach confidently and without fear. So Paul did that for a year and a half. He stayed here and he taught the people about Christ. And then we learn that there's a man named Gallio who is the deputy of the city. So he's like kind of the judge and in charge of if people get in trouble, they have to go see him. So the Jews that were grumpy with Paul grabbed him and took him to him, and they told Gallio that Paul was teaching all these things and he was not speaking the truth and breaking the laws according to Jewish customs. And Gallio said to them, if you came to me and told me he was like breaking our laws for our city, then I would judge him. But since this is something that has to do with your religion, I'm not going to do anything about it. Like, it's not of my concern. And he let Paul go. And then this angry mob of Jews actually turned on the like synagogue leader at the time and beat him up instead, which is so sad and tragic. But we can see that Heavenly Father totally kept that promise to Paul that he had received in his vision that he could preach and testify and teach confidently, and he would not have any harm come to him. All right, so in chapter 18, we meet Gallio, who is the judge in Corinth. And the question that came to me for this section was just to ponder on who is our actual spiritual judge. Gallio wasn't willing to judge on spiritual matters, especially Jewish ones, but who is the judge for our spiritual decisions? If you wanted to go a little deeper with your kids, you could even discuss who is like our lawyer, who's our mediator to petition for us, for our well-being, to our spiritual judge. All right, our next story for this week takes place in Troas, which is like a city and surrounding areas that Paul visited. And he was planning on only staying one day in this city, so he had broken bread with his disciples in the area and was preaching long into the night. It actually was midnight, and he was still teaching and preaching. And we learn that there are a bunch of rooms above him, and the lights are coming on because people are sitting in their windows and listening to him teach. And we learn about a young boy named Eutychus, and he got tired and fell asleep in his window. Like, he had been listening for so long. I'm sure we've all been there in a sacrament meeting or conference, and we're tired and we want to be there and hear it, and we're just fading. So Eutychus fell asleep in his window, and he actually ended up falling out of the third story window and dying. And then Paul immediately raced down and embraced Eutychus and told everybody around not to worry that Eutychus was alive. But in reality, in the scriptures, we learn he had died and Paul had raised him from the dead. And then once Eutychus was back alive, Paul just went right back to teaching everybody all night long as if nothing had happened. And then in the morning, he departed from that city. Okay. So Paul, despite having traveled and I'm sure being exhausted on his first day, spent the entire night teaching, preaching, and he healed Eutychus. So what can that teach us about our own willingness to put Christ first, despite our own physical needs, wants, and desires? What habit can we adjust or tweak or put a little bit more time and effort in to better resemble the sacrifice that Paul was willing to make? That is a wrap for all the stories that we have for this week's Come Follow Me on the Go. I hope you guys enjoyed them and were able to have good discussions and grow closer to Christ as a family. Fun little side note, I am working on not saying so nearly as often in my podcast. If any of you kiddos out there want to tally up how many times I said it and send me a little message on Instagram, whoever is right will get a little shout out.